Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a friend of the slimy variety because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful orca. So this episode is the first episode of season 3, which is so exciting. I'm so excited to start this new season with each and every one of you. Now, this episode would not be possible without Will and Ben on Instagram, who wrote in to see some orcas on the show. So I'm so excited to get in today's episode. But before I do, we're just going to talk about a few things. So now that season 3 has started, we are back on a regular schedule of Mondays at 2 a.m. EST. If you want to have your animal on the podcast, you can write a suggestion in to either Relax with Animal Facts, that's on Instagram, or if you'd like to email, you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. Now, I reply to each and every one of you who write in, and I get so giddy and excited whenever I see one of you guys from the podcast family writing into the show, either to just say how it's helped you sleep or whatever it is. Even I always welcome people that have suggestions on how to make the show better, because that's absolutely my goal for you guys. So I'd like to thank all of you for making this show so fun to do and already on the third season. So all of you guys, give yourselves a nice healthy pat on the back there. So now, as we get ready to listen to the episode, I want each and every one of you to sort of notice maybe where you're carrying some tension around your body and just try to relax those spots. Maybe it's your neck and your shoulders. Maybe it's your legs. Who knows? Everybody's different. Regardless, we're here to relax. So just take a breath in, relax your whole body, and get ready to go into this immersive experience with me, Steph Wolf, into the ocean where we can find these orcas. So I got my facts from georgiastrait.org. They have plenty of information for orcas, and it is awesome to see a website like this that is different from the ones that we usually do on the show, like Live Science or National Geographic. So orcas have been roaming oceans for about 6 million years, which in contrast to humans is about 30 times longer. So we gotta give props to these orcas because they definitely have us beat in terms of seniority. They have been on this earth much longer than we have. And there are about, or at least, 10 different ecotypes of orcas in the whole world. So orcas are found in every ocean all around the globe, with the greatest number of distinct ecotypes found in specifically the Antarctic waters. And these genetically distinct ecotypes have evolved over millions of years because orcas will only breed with others from the same ecotype. So we can see here how this sort of evolution over time, over these past 6 million years, have led to a difference in these orcas, at least 10 different ones. So it is amazing to see how evolution works in that way. And in terms of brain size, Orcas have the second largest brain of any animal in the entire world, not just in the ocean, but in the whole world. And their brains can weigh up to 15 pounds. That's a lot of knowledge they can carry there. Large brains paired with extreme amounts of folding or gyrification, which means things like language, memory, and emotional capacity are very highly developed in these animals, which will allow the orcas to develop a sort of culture, a rich culture, among their species. If you're wondering who's taking the top spot for the largest brain, that is going to be the sperm whale. But when we go over words such as folding and gyrification in terms of the brain, it just has to do with like how many folds it has. And on the brain specifically, in us humans, we have also gyri and sulci the same as they do. It's just a difference in how many there are. So I guess you don't have to get boggled too much into the definitions, but the orcas have very large brains. So good for them. So the mortality rate for orcas is up to 50%. In the first year of life. Now, we're not used to those kinds of numbers, especially in the human population, because we've developed so many different, highly sophisticated technologies and things like that, that we don't have to worry too much about having that high of a mortality rate. But in the case of the orcas, they have high levels of contaminants that are passed on from mothers to their offspring via their breast milk. And the orca calves are highly sensitive to these toxic contaminants, as any new creature would be generally. And to help save orcas from this kind of damage and this kind of possible extinction, we have to eliminate the use and the discharge of these pollutants into the waterways worldwide. So as we know, pollution can be a huge problem for a variety of species, a lot of species, as a matter of fact, and finding proper ways to discharge of waste and different pollutants can save a lot of animals. And I think there is no better time than now than to start learning about maybe how we can do that in the future. Now, adult resident orcas eat an average of about 385 pounds of salmon daily to stay healthy. I don't think I have eaten 385 pounds of salmon in my lifetime, let alone a day. The Chinook salmon is the main source of food for these resident orcas, but the key prey species has had consistently low spawning returns for several decades, which will mean, of course we know, when one variable changes in nature, it has a way of either balancing it out or of, you know, affecting a multitude of variables in that ecosystem. And in the case of the salmon, as their returns in terms of the spawning lowers over time, could be due to different sorts of things like we covered before, could be due to pollutants, could be due to fishing. It doesn't say in this article, but a lack of food means that orcas could be also in trouble with this variable. So I think it is so amazing how nature really works and tries to find a balance in a way. And in this way, when you have a lower food supply, this could affect the food chain all going up and going down in both ways. And they need a good amount of salmon daily to stay healthy. In fact, 385 pounds of it, which is, wow, that is a lot of omega-3s. And every orca is individually identifiable because they each have a unique dorsal fin and saddle patch. Now, dorsal is just a term used commonly in anatomical terms as meaning the back of something. So the dorsal fin is going to be on the back of the orca. Now, saddle patches are the light-colored area behind the dorsal fin, and they can be open or closed. And the resident orcas will have an open or closed saddle patch that is white or gray generally. Biggs orcas have closed saddle patches that are solid gray to white. It is always interesting to see how researchers specifically identify certain animals. We learned, for example, in the gorilla episode that gorillas can be identified through their noses, through their nostrils. So we see in varying species how they can have these unique characteristics. Just like in terms of humans, we might have somewhat unique fingerprints. The only reason I say somewhat is because the fingerprints at one point in time were thought to be 100% unique in all human beings, but it turned out not to be the case, that there are cases in which two people can have the same fingerprint. So that is why I say, you know, mostly, but anyways, that is besides the point. This is not a crime podcast. This is an animal podcast. So you can identify orcas, or researchers can identify orcas by their dorsal fin and saddle patch. The southern resident orca, J2, aka Granny, they nicknamed this orca Granny, was the oldest known orca in the entire world. Unfortunately, J2 passed away in October of 2016 at approximately 105 years old. That is amazing. And that was due to a lack of food and the effects of marine pollution. I wonder how long Granny would have lived if it weren't for these variables. But the southern resident orcas are passing away before reaching their life expectancies of about 60 to 80 years for females, while it is 40 to 60 years for males. So we see that Granny here definitely had a gift for longevity, but due to these changing variables in our developing world, it is getting harder and harder for them to live in those higher life expectancies, which is not so good. Every orca population has its own unique language. Now, losing the endangered southern resident orca population would mean the loss of an entire orca language, culture, and unique genetic community, which have evolved over a millennia. If you haven't heard how many different whale species communicate, it is simply put, amazing. Something that is beyond my comprehension, beyond my understanding, but it is something that is really, really cool to see and to watch. I'm sure there's some videos on YouTube you guys can find out there. So an example of maybe animals using languages in the way that you wouldn't expect, honeybees. They will use different sorts of dances and different techniques to point other honeybees from the hive towards the direction of where pollen is. So I think that's just so cool and shows the variety in which language can come among different animal species. Now, orcas are born with whiskers. So just like cats, I suppose. So they have something in common with cats. If anything, it's just their whiskers. And the calves, which are baby orcas, will lose this facial hair soon after birth, but the hair follicles remain visible. So that's kind of interesting that when we compare that to humans, humans aren't born with facial hair and then lose it afterwards. It's the other way around. We're born with generally no facial hair, or at least not dark facial hair. And as we progress and age, of course, depending on a few different variables, we'll get different sorts of hair follicles forming. But with the orca calves, we see that they like to go the other way around, which I think is really cool. Now, orca calves are born black and peachy orange in color, which I think is super cool. They are not born black and white, how you might imagine the killer whale or the orca. One thing that I find just so amazing is that orcas have a unique region in their brains. So it is one that does not exist in the brains of humans or other land mammals. Orcas have three lobes in their brain's paralimbic system, whereas humans have only one. And scientists speculate the orca's lobes may be responsible for spatial memory and navigation, which can be extraordinarily important when you're talking about the vastness of the oceans. So that is super cool that they have not only larger brains than we do, but in fact, unique regions in their brains in comparison to us. So while the researchers or scientists can speculate, we don't necessarily know 100% what those lobes could be responsible for. What a unique species, you guys. This is an awesome episode so far. What a way to kick off season 3. Now, a mother's orca's death greatly affects the mortality rate of the sons. So male orcas are much more likely to pass away if their mother dies. And researchers think that prey sharing by mothers with their offspring may be the cause. Mothers are very important to the orca community's survival. So I think that's super cool that here the role of motherhood in the orca community is not understated in the least. Here it is really important for not only the longevity of orcas as communities, but in those specific local families, the mother plays a very crucial role. While in some of the other animals that we've learned about, the offspring will be pretty much right out of the gate on their own. So it is definitely definitely different from some of the animals that we've covered on the show. If unraveled, the small intestine of an orca would stretch the length of a Boeing 737-500, which means that their intestinal tract, just their small intestine, is about as tall as a 10-story building, or about 31 meters. And marine mammals who live in cold waters have very long, small intestines, which may play a role in body temperature regulation through heat production from digesting food. So that is quite possible and most likely the case. Now, orcas keep half of their brain awake while they sleep, which is something that I do not believe humans do. It is something called unihemispheric slow wave sleep. I suppose this is in contrast to us humans who have REM cycles in our sleep. And they must rest this way because they are conscious breathers. They choose when to surface and breathe. If orcas were to completely shut down their entire brain while they sleep, they would fail to surface and most likely drown as a result. So this is so cool and something that I have never thought about before. So this must mean that in contrast to us humans, where we sleep, we can sleep for longer periods of time, I suppose, 6 to 8 hours to 9 hours. In the case of the orcas, they probably can't sleep for just as long because they have to go up and take a breath. So again, that really fancy term for how they sleep is unihemispheric slow wave sleep. So that is so cool. And orcas receive sound through their lower jaw, something that I would not have expected at all. Sound waves from echolocation travel from the jaw to their inner ear and on to the brain, where detailed images of their environment are formed. Now, how this works and the complexity of how this works just never ceases to amaze me. I wish that that I could experience some form of echolocation because it seems like it would be just so cool, such a cool skill to have. And orcas rely on sound and echolocation to hunt, communicate, and navigate. Activities that, of course, become more and more difficult in the increasingly noisy oceans. So things like deep sea drilling or large, boats and carriers and stuff like that can make it really hard for an animal that relies on sound to properly navigate their environment, right? So for sure, this is where the word noise pollution can come into play here. And noise pollution affects not only orcas, but many other sea creatures that rely on sound to get around and to feed their brain information in terms of where they are and where they've been. Humans, great apes, elephants, whales, hippos, manatees, and walruses are the only animals that share a special type of cell in our brains. And this special type of cell, they are called spindle neurons. They're responsible for tracking social interactions, performing certain intellectual and emotional functions, and they allow us to have feelings about others' feelings. So feelings about others' feelings, to me, it doesn't say in the article, but that sounds like the definition for empathy. Now, having an animal that is like a orca, imagining that they have empathy is something that is really humbling and frankly amazing to consider. So having these spindle neurons in these all these different kinds of animals that I would imagine humans have and great apes have, but along with a bunch of other species like elephants, whales, hippos, manatees, walruses, that is just so awesome. And that is a totally new fact for me. I'm learning so much today. In case this is the first time you are listening to this podcast, I am in no way an expert on animal anything. I am not an animal biologist. I am just a guy that loves to learn about animals here with each and every one of you. So I am learning. When I say that I am learning right alongside you, I'm not kidding. So we're in this together. Orcas, like other, oh, here we go with these kinds of words, cetaceans, I hope I'm saying that right, they have special mucus in their lungs. And this mucus allows them to reinflate their lungs after they collapse during those deep dives due to pressure, right? Because as we know, as most of us know, when you go deeper into the ocean, the pressure is going to increase. And this can cause cetaceans to have a sort of stinky breath. So they can't help it. Try not to judge them. I wouldn't recommend you try to give them any kind of Listerine mouthwash. This is just the way that they are. And the other orcas don't really seem to mind. I find it super interesting that so many of these animals, these marine animals, have these abilities to do such deep diving, while me, I have a problem going to the bottom of a swimming pool without getting a headache or having my ears hurt. So I gotta give props to these orcas. And here is something that I think is awesome, is that female orcas share all the fish that they catch, mostly with their offspring. And male orcas only share their food about 15% of the time, usually with the mothers. But still, we see here that orcas value sharing. Orcopods generally need enough food so that they can stick together and help feed each other. So it's this sort of balance that they strike where alone they would not be doing so good. So traveling in these sorts of groups that are known as pods, it can help them survive, much like wolves do in a pack. The North Pacific Bigs orcas are considered the most genetically distinct of all the world's ecotypes of orcas. Now, three orca ecotypes live in the North Pacific. That is going to be the residents, the bigs, and the offshores. And each type is going to be unique. It's going to be genetically distinct and even have its own language, culture, prey preferences, and hunting strategies. I find that so cool that in the past 6 million years, evolution, while it does work generally slowly, has been able to provide orcas with these massive differences within one species. Now, orcas produce sound by a process known, as we learned before, as echolocation. And you might be wondering how they do this, because I sure am. They do this by forcing air through their nasal passages and then amplifying and projecting the sound through a fatty area that they have in their head called the lemon. Not the lemon, I apologize. The melon. So I'm mixing up my fruits here. So we learned about beluga whales in the past on this show, and we learned that they also have this fatty area on their heads called the melon. And orcas have the most powerful and sophisticated echolocation of any animal on Earth. So we see here that the orcas are taking the cake with a lot of these variables. Orcas have notably long gestation periods. The pregnancies can last between 15 and 18 months, and on average, females have a calf every 4 to 8 years. The females go through menopause in their early 40s, but remain an integral part of the family unit. So 15 to 18 months is a long time. We still know that the elephant, if you haven't listened to the elephant podcast before, that's an awesome one to listen to. As we learned on there, they have the largest gestation periods, about 22 months. So they still have orcas beat in terms of that. But still, the orcas have these very long gestation periods. So now we are going to move on to the final fact of the show, which is the name orca. Where does it come from? Well, the word orca in Latin means literally the shape of a barrel or cask, which I could definitely see. It's likely due to the orca's body shape, which would definitely make sense. But the orcas were formerly known as blackfish, killer whales, and my favorite here, which is murder pandas. Being named murder pandas, I think, is an achievement in itself. So that is the final fact of the episode. I had so much fun this show. Thank you so very much to every single one of you listening. I hope that it was helpful for you in terms of learning. I hope it was helpful for you in terms of relaxing. Again, if you want to have your animal on the podcast, you have two options. You can write in to the show by following Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram and sending me a message, or you can go to on your email and send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. So this is the start of season 3 with many more fun episodes to come. I hope I see all of you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.